Good. Well, how many of you are glad you're a child of God? We've just been singing it. We've just been declaring it. God's goodness and kindness to us. And, you know, when you're convinced you're a child of God, that puts a whole perspective on life as well, doesn't it? As well as us declaring that, you know, we are yours, as we said a few moments ago. Just a whole different perspective when you've got God, your Father, on your side. But how many of us know that... With all that, with God looking over us, God watching over us, we still have challenges. There are still things that come up. There are still issues that we face. There are still issues in our own lives that we've got to work through. And what I want to do this morning is part of the Overcoming series that we're bringing to a conclusion. I want to look at the life of Samson for a few minutes. So if you've got your Bible, the story of Samson runs pretty much from Judges 13 through to 16. We are not going to read it all, but I'll just comment on a few bits of it. And we're looking at how the whole subject of overcoming the cravings of the flesh, and we'll come to that a little bit in a moment. But Samson, firstly, really should never have been born. His mum was unable to conceive and had been crying out to the Lord. And it says in Judges 13 that the angel of the Lord appeared to her. We don't even know her name. And he appeared to her and said in verse 5, "You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched with a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." What an incredible mandate over Samson's life. This was Samson's purpose in life under God, that he will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines, the arch enemies of Israel, if you will. So this was his purpose. I wonder what your purpose might be. Kirsten thought her purpose may have been going to Israel. Actually, sometimes we think our purpose might be one thing, God might have something else on the agenda. And are we willing, and that's a great story, great account of God's faithfulness we heard this morning, are we willing to give up what's on our agenda to say, actually, Lord, what's on your agenda is really where I want to be? We're going to the One event next week, and the whole theme for the One event is purpose, and you'll be hearing a lot about that, I guess, over the 4 or 5 days that we are there. But I wonder what your purpose might be, what God's called you to. The person he wants you to be in the places that he wants you to do it with, the people he wants you to do it with, right in the center of his will. You know, each one of us, we have incredible potential. Just nudge the person next to you. You've got great potential. And I'm not talking about physics here. I'm not talking about 2.5 volts. I'm talking about, you know, the other potential. And God will give you the gifts, abilities to fulfill all that he's called you to. How many of you actually believe that? That God will equip you to be who he wants you to be, to do what he wants you to do. I love Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, "For we are God's masterpiece." I don't know if you thought of yourself as a masterpiece. He says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew. So the old has gone, the new has come. Corinthians tells us that. That we've been created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. There are things on God's agenda for your life, for my life, that were planned long ago. And somebody said it earlier. Andy, I think you just said, actually, we just need to say yes and then do, you know? I read this morning in my sort of daily devotions. You know, God will not say... I forgot what it was now. But he won't think, yeah, me as well, it's catching. He's like, sheesh. It's not to do with what we've thought about, what we thought we'll do, but actually what you've done. God will say, you know, faithful servant, for what you've done, not just what you thought you might do. Because sometimes it takes a step of faith to step into some stuff that God calls us to. But in doing that, I guess there are two enemies and challenges to that walk of purpose that God's got for us. And firstly, there's one that's outside of us, which let's call him the devil, who's out to knock us off course. John records in John 10, verse 10, the words of Jesus, where he says, the devil has come to kill Stephen, to to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come, this is the great bit Jesus says, that you might have life and have it to the full. I want to be in that camp. I don't want to be in the other one where stuff's been taken from me. So there's the devil who's out to knock us off course. But secondly, there's this whole issue that we have with ourselves and our own thinking and our desires and cravings of our sinful nature, if you will, the Bible calls it the flesh, that we are challenged with and how we deal with that. And I guess many of you have heard the funny story of the devil being sat on the steps of the church one day, and people are coming into church, and he's just sat on the steps and he's crying. Somebody said to him, "What are you crying for?" And he says, "Those Christians, all them in there, they blame me for everything." But actually, the truth is, quite a lot is the challenges of our flesh, cravings that we have, things that, you know, our desires. Some of you may remember a guy called Barney Coombs. He set up a network of churches called Salt and Light. He's recently passed away, moved to Canada a few years ago, recently passed away. But a great guy. And one of the things he used to say about us as human beings, he said, we're all donuts. He said, we look great and whole on the outside, but actually there is a hole in the middle of us. And we all have issues, we all have our challenges. And so, you know, in fact, you may think, well, I've got my challenges, I've got stuff I'm trying to work through, but actually everybody in the room has got them. Oh, you holy people. Samson had his weaknesses. Samson's biggest weakness was, let me just put it this way, an eye for the ladies. An eye for the ladies. If you got your Bible open at Judges there, if you go to chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, it says there that Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. Bear in mind, this was the people he was supposed to subdue on behalf of Israel. A Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I like this, could you imagine this been happening today? When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." You know, when my kids were growing up, I was all for arranged marriages. Actually, they've done pretty well, actually. In fact, they've done really well without my intervention, which is probably good. When I was of that age, though, I would not have wanted my parents to. But the big issue here was, you know, this was a lady from the Philistine camp. Somebody that, you know, God had told the Israelites to, you know, distance from. It's interesting, there's an interesting scripture in that how even God used that for his purposes. I haven't got time to dig into all of that. So we got his wife, which he ultimately marries. She lets him down a little bit because she betrays her confidence. And basically he walks back and goes back to his parents. And then after a while thinks, no, I'll go back to my wife. By this time, her mum and dad have given her to somebody else. He's livid. He picks up the jawbone of an ass and kills 3,000 people, as you do. He's gone nuts. So he's in a bit of a mess again. And then his cravings sort of come to the surface again. You get to chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute, and he went in to spend the night with her. When the local people heard about that, they thought this is an opportunity to get him, but he left about midnight. And he was still angry and ripped off the city gates and the gateposts, as you do, and carted them up the nearest hill and just dumped them. It's not going well. And then chapter 16, verse 4, it says, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He hooks up with her. These were the cravings of his flesh coming through. And so often when we let the cravings of the flesh come in and dictate our actions, that's when the devil does step in and builds on the opportunity, if you will. If you look at that whole issue with Delilah, and okay, we haven't got the time to unpack it all, but he's asked by Delilah, you know, what's the cause of all your strength? He's got this incredible strength. He's killing thousands of people. He's ripping gates off the city walls and the gateposts, taking them up hills. Incredible strength. And they're wanting to know, the people are wanting to know, what's the cause of his strength? Where does he get his strength from? And so she, well, in fact, in verse 5, the next verse of chapter 16, it says, the rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said to him, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. So, you know, and you look at that and you think, you know, just giving away to the cravings of the flesh puts him in this incredibly now vulnerable position to be lured by the enemy. You and I can get into a position where we can so easily be lured by the enemy. And this is the guy who's called to have a holy life. You know, we read it right at the beginning when the angel of the Lord speaks to Samson's mum and says, look, you'll become pregnant, you'll have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. There's a calling on his life to deliver Israel, but there's a calling on his life to be holy. This whole Nazarite vow thing was incredibly serious. And if you go back to Numbers chapter 6, you'll see a whole passage on it. Being a Nazarite to Samson, was really, he would have to observe a number of things. Firstly, he would have to abstain from wine, from wine vinegar, from grapes, from raisins. Now, some of you might find that easier than others. Let's not go there for a moment. And then he'd have to refrain from cutting his hair. And some of you, again, might find that easier than others. Then it says that you have to avoid corpses and graves, and even touching areas where bodies are contained. So there's a whole raft of things this Nazarite vow was required of Samuel, of Samson. And ultimately it says in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 6 that the Nazarite vow is described for somebody and prescribed for somebody who is going to be holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. How many of us know that we're called to be holy? Now I'm not saying you all quit grapes. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you all stop cutting your hair. But there are things that we're called to do and things that God encourages us to live by. A code of ethics, some New Testament principles that we can dig out. You know, ways of thinking that each of us is challenged by. You know, there's various passages we could look up this morning. There are things that we're called to. What have you, when we sang that song, I Am Yours, this morning, that's why it struck me a bit, because I knew what I was going to say. When we sang I Am Yours, that's great on a Sunday morning. It's great when we're worshipping together. But what's it mean tomorrow? What's it mean next week? What's it mean when I'm in my workplace? Or I'm in college or school or my neighborhood or with my family who are not necessarily believers, etc. How does that cause me to live when I'm declaring, I am yours, only yours? You know, Samson, that recurring issue with his flesh, with sort of desire for women. We've all got our weaknesses. It could be money, it could be alcohol, it could be food, it could be pornography, it could be a whole host of things. Any one of a number. We all need some help to journey through that stuff, those cravings that will pull us away from the purposes of God. You know, Galatians 2, Paul says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That makes all the difference. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the scripture's declaring. Early on in Samson's life, in what we just looked at, he missed an opportunity to take advice from his parents. Now, most of us have been there. You know, when you're a teenager particularly, you're not entirely sure that your parents do know best. Maybe in latter years you look back and think, well, perhaps they weren't as daft as I thought they were when I was 16. But each of us, if we're going to follow the plans and purposes of God for our lives, we need to be able to hear some advice. We need to have people around us who can speak some stuff into us that's not always easy to hear. Sometimes it's a bit tough. And, you know, Proverbs would say, for the lack of counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. And sometimes we need that. Need people to speak into it. You know, each of us is free. In the West, in this country, are pretty free, really, to make our own choices in lots and lots of stuff. But each of those choices we make, as was the case with Samson, has its consequences. The choices you and I make in the way we live, in the things that we say, and the things that we do, will have consequences. We live in a world of cause and effect, don't we? If you're into physics, you'll know that. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, etc. Some sin has consequences just built in, period. No matter if the person's a Christian or not a Christian. You know, if we do stuff wrong, there'll be an effect. The Bible says, you know, if you think about Samuel, for example, and the issues he had, and maybe there are somebody here or people here today who have similar sort of challenges, the Bible warns about sexual immorality, it being a sin. It's committed against one's own body. 1 Corinthians 16:8 says, you know, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And then he says, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Back to the song we sang earlier. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. It's challenging stuff, isn't it? But here's the great news. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer. He's the one who, if we've fouled up and messed up and mucked about, and there's a way back. And I firmly believe that God is always looking for a way to draw us back to himself when we've wandered off course. Ephesians 1, 7, 8 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of what? Sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. God is about lavishing his grace on us, about drawing us back when we've fouled up and messed up, restoring us to that place of right relationship with him to fulfill those purposes that he's called us to. And I want to say it is never too late. It's never too late to ask God for his forgiveness again, to come back to himself. Dale, do you mind just coming a moment? You know, Samson, right at the end of his life, he's and ultimately found, just pop up here a minute. I'm just going to chat with Dale in a minute. He's called, he's caught by the Philistines. You know, they find out the root of his strength, which was as his hair grew, he got stronger. So, you know, when he was asleep, they cut off his hair. So they plucked out his eyes. They took him captive. They got him threshing wheat and et cetera, et cetera. And they used him for sport. And mocked him. And one day there's thousands of people gathered in Dagon's temple. And it says there's 3,000 just on the roof, so I don't know how many were actually in the main body of the place. Thousands of people. And they've got Samson up. And whatever they're doing, it doesn't go into the details, but they're taunting him, making a mockery and a fool of him. And he's blind and he can't see what's going on. And he just says to one of the guys stood by him, could you just tell me where the two... Whereas a couple of pillars that are holding up the temple. And there must have been two fairly close by, because he gets in between two. And then he prays. And he prays to God. And he cries out to God. And he says, Sovereign Lord, please God, strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow revenge the Philistines for my two eyes. The very purpose that God had called him to. He's saying, restore to me that place again of defeating the Philistines. And he gets between these two pillars and he prays this prayer and then he pushes. And the whole temple collapses and thousands of people are taken out. He's taken out as well. It's the ultimate sacrifice. But he's back. God was willing to hear his prayer, even though he'd fouled up so many times. And myself and Dale were chatting just the other day, weren't we, Dale? And we were chatting about God's call on our life. And you became a Christian many years ago, but then things didn't quite work out so well. Just give us a headline or two.
Well, basically, I found the Lord in 1985 off the back end of Billy Graham visits, but it didn't feel right for me, and I got myself into a lot of trouble, went to prison for some nasty crimes, and I was lost. I didn't know where I was going. That carried on for nearly 30-odd years. Yeah.
And then in the last couple of years or so, a friend of yours who'd become a Christian and started attending church, you'd seen a bit of a difference in their life?
Yeah, I've seen a change. When I met this person, they were in a very bad place, and I wasn't nice to them. But over the years, we kept bumping into each other. Then I found out she'd found God. And I could see it in her. You could see the change. You could feel God's love coming from her. Mm-hmm. And it made me realise, where's she getting this from? Where it's coming from?
Yeah. Yeah. So as a result of that, you came along to the church when we were meeting in the school at Lower Marsden. And just tell me a little bit about that experience.
First time I walked in the door, it was like a cold air hit me. Mm-hmm. And everything just seemed right. I literally committed back to the Lord straight away that day. And since then, there's been challenges. But you could see everyone I saw in the church, everyone I met, you could see they were humble before the Lord, but you could feel God's presence in them and God's power is there and it's moving. Yes.
And then, obviously, I think it's about 7 weeks ago, we had a baptismal service. You came to me and said, I really would like to get baptised, and which you did. Yeah. So what has been your experience since getting baptised just 7 weeks ago?
Since getting baptised, I hit a real low. I had no money, no job. And I was at the end. I was in the process of trying to sell something. And I was praying, God, give me a sign. I got a call for a takeaway driver that night. Right. The following week, I came to church. I was getting prayer for a friend of mine. And the person praying for me laid a hand on him and said, you've had a bad back. I've not declared that to anyone. I came to the prayer meeting a few weeks ago. And the person prayed for me. Hand on my back, I felt a warmth. It was there, I was healed. Uh-huh. It was fantastic.
Yeah, so since coming back to the Lord and since making that commitment to follow him in waters of baptism, saying, I am yours, effectively, you know, your life, that doesn't stop the challenges, but you've seen God's evidence in your life in very practical ways, in spiritual ways, and in physical ways with regard to healing. So brilliant. Yeah. So if you think, you know, because Dale, backstory there, ended up in prison, all sorts of issues went wrong, had all sorts of challenges that you succumbed to. And if you think, well, I've had a bit of a backstory like that, hey, there's hope today for restoration and coming to a place of sense of fulfillment in Christ. Thanks, Dale. Bless you. Let's give him a thank. It's never too late. What do we need to do to keep on the right track? I think firstly we've got to recognize, when the band come back, I'm going to wrap this up really quick. Recognize the destructive power of sin. Particularly, it can get so easily out of control, can't it? The Greek word for sin is amartia. And it means to miss the mark. And every time we sort of fall foul of those cravings that are of the flesh, then we miss the mark of what God's call is on our lives. And the results of that, the consequences of that, is it brings a separation. Isaiah says in 59 verse 2, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. I don't want to live cut off from God. And fearing the consequence, you know, of sin is not a bad thing, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Somebody should say hallelujah, amen to that, because that just changes everything. You know, the first song we sang this morning was, God's all about changing our chaos into order. Yeah. If you've got a chaotic life, that's not a problem to God. He said, you call to me, we can do something about that. Bring some order out of the chaos. And I would say, don't disqualify yourself if you've had a backstory. If you think, well, I've mucked up so many times, etc., etc. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, it's a scripture we often quote, but it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and sometimes we just focus on that bit, but if we humble ourselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe God wants to do some restoring even in this place today. And fourthly, I'd say, you know, we need help. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. To give us that strength. Paul says in Galatians 5, I say, look, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's an answer straight there. Walk by the Spirit. So let's ask to be filled by His Spirit today. And, you know, just on a very practical thing, if you're facing some of these issues that we've touched on today, maybe you just need to have a chat with somebody. And talk it through and just be accountable to somebody. Just to say, would you just stand with me and pray with regard to this issue that I'm facing? And give them the permission to ask you in a month's time how you do it. Just to have a little bit of accountability with somebody. But don't give up. If you've had setbacks, keep going for it. Keep moving forward. This is one of the biggest surprises in Scripture to me. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, there's a whole catalogue of people who are held up as you know, put up there and said, look at these people, look at their incredible faith. And you've got this amazing list of people. And then you get Samson in there as well. How on earth did he get in there? You think you've mucked up. You think, God has another way of measuring things. And a way of restoring things and a way of doing things that will take us beyond perhaps what we dream or imagine. And understand this, that God is for you, not against you. Mike shared with us earlier, wherever he is, there he is, about that shield round about us, about us putting his favour on us. I really believe that God wants to do that. Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And finally, trust in the Lord. And he will help you. Kirsten mentioned this earlier. But Philippians 4 says this. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. Right. Maybe you're here this morning and you look and you say, actually, David, yeah. There are things that I'm struggling with, things that I've struggled with, things that I am struggling with. Issues that the Bible will say was of the flesh. Well, if you want to put that right, if you want to get some help with that, today's the day. Firstly, I would encourage you to ask for God's forgiveness. Why don't you just do that right now? Just ask the Lord if you need to. His forgiveness. Just ask him to forgive you. Jesus. And then I want to suggest that, secondly, is to put yourself in his hands. Put your trust in him. We've been hearing it throughout the service. Put your trust in him for your life, his agenda in your life. And then I would suggest that you invite him by his Holy Spirit to come and strengthen you to withstand some of those challenges and those cravings of the flesh that maybe are issues to you right now. And I want to encourage you that he's not against you, he's for you. God is for you. We're going to sing a great song. It's 21 years old, but it's still good. One of the lines says, when I am weak, you make me strong. When I'm weak, you make me strong. For in the power of your name, all things are possible. And we're going to sing this song and we're going to declare it because he's a mighty God. He's almighty. Nothing is impossible to him. So we're going to sing. If you need some prayer, there'll be people down here to my left, your right, who are willing to pray with you. But this morning, as we sing and declare this, let's believe that we can get back on the purposes of God for our day and generation, for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.